I wanted to read out loud for you the four possible mission statements that we have created to spark conversation and to invite that conversation about, well, what is it that we're most grateful for in this community? What really engages us in this living that we do as a community? I do have some more printed copies of these mission statements, and I will leave them right here if you didn't get one when we passed them out 2 weeks ago, and they will come out electronically, I think, this week. So just listen for the words in these that are feel like words you could hold on to if the floodwaters rose or the wind picked up. What are the things that would keep you grounded and ready to pick up when the storm let up? At Fuse, we seek to build a caring, inclusive community where we can ground ourselves spiritually, pursue justice in the larger society, and work to heal the imperiled natural world. A second possibility. At Fuse, our mission is to affirm and promote the seven principles of Unitarian Universalism. A third possibility. The call of our time is to respond to the needs of the earth. Spiritual grounding, loving community, and changing how we live. And a fourth possibility. We do the work that reconnects us to our inner lives, to each other, and to our earth home. And there is a fifth possibility. It is the one that is not written yet, but that our conversations and thinking over the next several months will create. I look forward to that one. I missed an important piece of our shared congregational life. So I invite you to probably turn your order of service back over. And before I offer my sermon, will you say our covenant together? And will you say it mindful that we are welcoming new members this morning? And that means welcoming people into this covenant in a new way. Love is the doctrine of this church. Quest for truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge in freedom, to serve humanity in fellowship, to respect the nurturing power within all of us. That covenant and the mission statement that we are in the process of creating together are one of the ways that we tell the story of who we are. And I have been telling stories this year from the story of the universe unfolding that we all told together about a month ago from the creation of the elements. I found a little bit of lithium in the vestibule just this week. To the waves of life forming and waves of extinction and then life coming back. To this sweet, precarious moment that we're in. And I started the year in September by telling a Jesus story. First thing, started off there. It's the one of people threatening to stone a woman for adultery, in which Jesus is sort of scratching in the sand as he says that famous line, "Let he who is without sin cast the first stone." And he keeps his head down while everybody shuffles away. That story of challenging people without humiliating them. That story of people recognizing their own complex truths and then being given a chance to live into them. We told stories of being our animal selves, our grateful selves. I told the story of Joanna Macy receiving the teachings of the Shambhala warrior, the people who fight for the world with the hot tool of compassion and the cool tool of insight, and learning how to use those together. I told the story of Martin Luther King Jr., and in fact, we listened to his voice tell the story of deciding to speak up about the Vietnam War, about risking speaking up for the citizens of Vietnam and the soldiers of this country, even though it was a risk for him to do that. I told the story of the way our lives, our hearts, our innermost understandings must change in order to create the world that is coming into being as the climate changes and we can no longer base our way of life on oil in the same way. I tried all year to tell stories that wove together ancient stories and new stories, global stories and your particular stories. And indeed, many of you shared your stories, either in joys and sorrows or more formally from the pulpit. And I shared all of those stories together in worship because they are all one story. One fantastically complex, surprising story that always ends with, "and then." They say that a minister has just really one sermon, which they preach over and over and over again. So if there are mornings when you feel like something is familiar, you are probably right. And mine used to be, "Live your life." In all of the variations of that, live your life, live your life, live your life. You can. But I noticed recently that my sermon had changed, which is interesting. Now I think my one sermon, and I'm afraid it's true, is it's all connected, which is a phrase that you have probably heard me say in a meeting or conversation with you, and I have probably gestured like this as I've been saying it. There is something about the way it's all connected that is very visceral to me, which is why my hands begin to get involved in that story. And this isn't a huge revelation on my part. It's just a shift in emphasis in which stories I pick and how I put them together. When I look back at the poetry that I have written in my life, I see that that story has always been there. And so having my sermon be that story is part of being myself publicly. It's part of me learning to use the double tool of compassion and insight. I think the "Live Your Life" was a story of compassion. And the "It's All Connected" is some of the tool of insight. So we'll see what they do together. And as I have paid attention to the stories that I am telling and the stories of this congregation, I have come to see something about our community. And I suspect it's something that I have begun to see about myself as well. That is one of the interesting realities of ministry. It's one of the interesting realities of any relationship of depth. The insight and understanding is always mutual. So I have begun to see that we underestimate ourselves. We underestimate the effect we have on the world. We underestimate the importance of what we are doing together. We underestimate a little bit how important we are to each other and how important we are to people who we hardly know. I think we underestimate our power in the best sense and the light that comes out of this place. I see this because I see us starting to step into the reality of who we are a little bit more. I see us being able to sort out the important work from the distractions, which are inevitable. I see us beginning to act together a little more boldly, a little more often. I see us making mistakes and then challenging each other on those mistakes so that we can go forward together in deeper ways. And I think that is an important word, that together word. The moments when I have to face the impact of either my work or our work together, if I have to think about it by myself, I get fuzzy. But when I am remembering to do it with you, when I remember that we're in on this together, then I can see it. And I can hold on to what a difference this congregation makes for members of the congregation and for people outside of our congregation too. So here we are at the annual meeting, this part of the year when we notice what we did this year. When we notice what story we've been telling about who we are and what we did. And always we notice the things that we didn't quite get finished and the things that we're disappointed about and the things that we hope to do better on next year. And it is a time to notice what is good and powerful and life-supporting and deeply connected. Because the work that happened here this year is important. You should have seen Yvonne Zinicola sitting behind her desk as she compiled the annual report. She would read the reports and then she would tell me all of the things that people in this congregation did that we forgot to write down or acknowledge. And I argued periodically for brevity, but her point was really an important one. And she said it day after day, well, you did a lot more than you're saying you did. I'm not sure you're noticing everything that you did. She is an important part of this conversation and this shifting to telling a slightly different story about ourselves, in which we really notice what we're up to here. So I would like you to take a moment in this moment at the end of this service, just before our meeting, to notice something that happened this year, or maybe lots of things that happened this year that were important. They might have been small exchanges. They might have been big actions out in the world. They might be somewhere in between. You know I love little pieces of paper. There are little pieces of paper in the hymnal racks, and I have a whole stack of them if you're just overflowing with things to say this morning. During the offering time, I invite you to write on these pieces of paper something that happened in this congregation because of this congregation that was important this year. And we will hang them up before our meeting starts so that you can see the things that you've noticed this year. This will not be part of the official annual report. It's part of us remembering to notice the importance of this community. This is the story that we are telling about who we are.